Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Center talking about mindfulness. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I've had a few conversations with people recently, and I'll get things like, oh, I don't like mindfulness. You know, what's the point of eating a raisin? Oh, I don't like mindfulness. It didn't work for me. I think there's maybe a misperception of what mindfulness is about and why we do it. So I thought it might be quite useful, really, to talk about the mechanics of it so that it helps, right? Because essentially, we're in the situation whereby we are most of the time enveloped by our thinking mind. And many of us are at the point where we don't actually think we can switch it off, and we don't think we have any control over it. And it just runs our life. So we get into these cycles like hamster wheels where we're just literally dragged around by our thinking. And that's a really difficult place to be because there's just no management then, right? There's nothing that you feel you can do when the cycles become really bad. Your sleeping gets impacted, your day-to-day life gets impacted, and that can be just a really difficult thing. If you're going through a lot of challenges, if you're going through very strong emotions, anger, fear, despair, grief, depression, anxiety, you know, these things are really fueled by thinking. And if we don't understand that we can train our thinking, then we're really stuck. Like we're really stuck. So mindfulness is essentially mind training. That's what it is. So to say it doesn't work for you, it's just not possible that it doesn't work for you because essentially it's a discipline. It's a discipline. So it might well be true that you can't be bothered to have that kind of discipline, or you don't, you know, you're not suffering enough to have that kind of discipline. Absolutely. But to say that mindfulness doesn't work or you don't get it, hopefully this conversation will help. So essentially, when we are talking about mindfulness, we're talking about coming into the five senses. And what that does is it brings us into the present moment. You can't be aware of what you're hearing if you're in the future or the past. So if you are busy planning, daydreaming about your future, ooh, it's going to look like this or it's going to look like that, you're not listening to the sounds at this very moment. Maybe the hum of the radiator, the birds outside, maybe a car passing by. Maybe you've got neighbors you can hear in the background. And when you engage the thinking, sorry, when you engage the hearing sense, then you are in the present moment. You're right here listening to the sounds as they happen in this moment. Now, you'll notice that when you really bring attention to what's happening in this moment, you are not able to engage this and also continue with the thinking. Oh, I've got a little fly. It's not interested in what I'm saying. It's buzzing around. You're not going to be able to be chasing some future thought. You're not going to be able to be ruminating on something in the past because it's actually really difficult to do both when you're really engaged with it. It's very easy to have the mind going and then at the same time to be kind of background paying attention to things as well. I think for some of you who have ADHD, it's probably easier to be very able to like have very many different wavelengths all going at the same time. So you have to play around with these, but essentially the idea is that you're coming into one of the five senses, whether that's what you can hear in this very moment, what you can see. So you're looking around and you're really looking. Like when I look out my window, I've got two magpies. I've got a car that's driving past. The sun is starting to set. There's all kinds of things to look at. And when you're looking out there, again, as I'm relating what I'm seeing, it's not that easy for me to then be engaged in rumination or worry or anything like that, because I'm bringing myself into this present moment. The same would happen if I was closing my eyes and I was scanning my body to see what is going on in my body. Like, where are the sensations? What am I feeling? Perhaps there might be an emotion there. And if I close my eyes and I feel into the emotion, then I'm maybe labeling it. That would be thinking, oh, I feel sad. Why do I feel sad? That's thinking. But if I'm looking at, let's say, sadness, where is it in the body? Location. Is it in my tummy? Is it up in my chest? Is it giving me a headache? Is it up in my head? And what kind of feeling is it? Is it cool? Is it hot? Is it spiky? Is it buzzy? Is it like electric pulses? Is it tight? And so you are describing, you're not thinking about what it means. You are essentially describing how the sensations feel, right? And you could go on. So then you could, you know, be eating something, and as you eat, you're really flavoring the texture. Is it hot? Is it cold? How does it feel in the mouth when you swallow it? So there's a whole bunch of exercises you can do, and maybe some of them work for you and maybe some of them don't. That's fair enough. Like if you say, oh, I don't really like eating food as mindfulness, or walking mindfulness is difficult for me, or something like that, there might be specific areas where you find mindfulness difficult. But to say that you can't bring yourself into the present moment, if you really struggle with that, that's actually telling you how difficult it is for you to live life. You are probably spending most of your time either living in the past in rumination, thinking about what happened yesterday, what happened last month, what happened when you were a child, or if you spend a lot of your time in the future, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next? What might happen next year? I'll be happy when this happens or that happens. Now, it's really important to understand that when you live in the mind, when you live in your thinking, whether that's thinking about what happened before or thinking about what's going to happen next, you're not actually living life. You're living in a fantasy world that you're thinking is creating. And that's why it feels so dissatisfying, because you're not, it's not reality. You're living in a fantasy world. Sometimes that works for people. Sometimes daydreaming can be quite fun, right? And sometimes it just happens. Of course, I'm not suggesting that you can be mindful 24/7. Some people find it easier than others, but essentially this idea that we can't be present, if you really struggle with that, I would say it is a real indication as to how addicted you are to your thinking. It's just dragging you about. Like when it wants to go into the future, you get dragged into the future. When it wants you to go into the past, you get dragged into the past. And this is a really tiresome way to live. So I would really suggest that when you look at mindfulness, that you pay attention. Where am I? Like, can I practice just breathing, noticing the breath, and becoming more aware of the body functions? Then you will become more aware of where you're holding tension. You'll start to become more aware of how your mind is being really dragging you around, right? Am I spending so much time in the past? Am I spending so much time in the future? Am I ruminating on certain things over and over and over again? And then there's a bigger question of really, is this useful? Is it helpful? Is it creating more peace or more stress in my life when I do this? Now, in the beginning, it might really feel like it's an impossible task to do. Actually, what it's showing you is how unruly your inner world is, how unruly your thinking is, and how you haven't really taken the time or the energy or discipline to start to rein it in, to start to notice when you go off and to go, actually, I'm not going to think about that right now. It's not helpful. It's creating more stress in my life. It's not useful to think about it right now. It might come a time where you have to do something. But then people often say to me, well, then how am I supposed to plan? Now, planning and daydreaming is not the same thing. So I plan, I have a diary. Like when I remember something I need to do, I'll write it in my diary to remind me, but it's an action point. I'm not writing about all the things that might happen, might not happen, you know, things like that. I'm just saying, oh, I need to pay my taxes on this day. Oh, I need to renew my parking permit on this date. That's planning, right? I'm doing an action. And either I will renew it right now, or I'll think, oh, okay, I'll do it next week and I'll write it in my diary. So I'm not talking about stopping planning. I'm talking about stopping. So let's say I need to renew my parking permit. Living in the future would be, if I don't renew my parking permit, then this might happen or that might happen. And if I renew it and then I move, and then what will happen? And then what happens if this, oh, what happens if I forget, blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff is totally unnecessary. And you could, every single thing that you find yourself thinking about, you will notice that there's all this overlay of unnecessary thinking that happens. Like one thought triggers another thought, triggers another thought. Sometimes it's fine. It's just very melodic, you know, blah, 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 here, there, everywhere, almost like clouds passing in the sky, no problem. But then there'll be other times where you notice that this thought creates stress, then another one, more stress, then another one, then anxiety, then this, then this, then this. A lot of fear-based thinking that starts to occur. And then your whole body starts to get itself into a real state. This is really unnecessary. It's unnecessary suffering that you're putting on yourself. And it's something that can be remedied through mindfulness. And again, as I said, all mindfulness is checking in on the senses. What am I seeing? What am I hearing? And you can start off with, what am I hearing just in this room? And then extend it out. What am I hearing outside on the street? What am I hearing even further? So really powerful. I think for me anyway, the sense of hearing is the most powerful to ground me in really quickly. That's just what I notice. It's kind of the easiest one to start with, but it might be different. Like for you, you might notice all kinds of other things when you look around. It might just bring you back into where you are right now. You're looking around and you're noticing, oh, I'm just in my home. I'm just enjoying a cup of tea, or I'm just sitting. There's nothing bad happening right now. It's just me sitting in my living room. There's no emergency. There's no big drama. Not much is happening. And sometimes that can just bring you back. And then for other people, when they're more kinesthetic, they close their eyes, they take a few breaths, they notice the breath in the body. And for a lot of spiritual practices, they use the breath, right? You close your eyes, the breath is always there, and you're just breathing. And every time you exhale, you're just relaxing the body, you're just noticing where you are, how the body is feeling. And all of these, or any of these, or a combination of these, will help you to become more mindful. And just remind yourself where you are in your life right now. You're not in the past. The past is gone, right? Did it even happen? It's not happening now, right? And the future is just an unknown. And we don't have to try and figure it out. Part of the joy of living is really not knowing what's around the corner. And that capacity to be open to that and to be okay with that and to realize that right now we have everything we need to deal with whatever's going on right now. And trusting that no matter what happens in the future, we will have exactly what we need at that time to help us deal with whatever future comes our way. And then you just notice that you can become more and more settled in knowing that everything that comes at you is happening merely in this slither of time. You don't have to work out all that stuff in the past, and you don't have to work out every single thing in the future that may or may not happen. All you have to take care of is what's happening right here, right now. And so mindfulness is that practice. And then after a time, it doesn't become practice anymore. It just becomes simply the way you live your life. And there's a huge amount of energy that you release and in a sense you retain, because you're not spending 80% of your day living in the past or living in the future. You're actually spending your day living in this very moment. And that really does kind of frees up. It really frees up a lot of your energy and allows you to really deal with things. You have much more capacity, much more resilience, much more capability, much clearer focus when you are actually in the here and now and not trying to think about what you need to do tomorrow, plus figure out what went wrong yesterday, plus blah, blah, blah. It's so unnecessarily complicated. It's really not that complicated. Life is actually super simple. And we just make it so complicated. And our thinking makes it so complicated because thinking loves to be thought, right? So it's going to clamor for your attention the whole time. And the less you discipline yourself, the more unruly it gets. And for many of you listening to this, you know what that ends up being. It ends up being anxiety or depression or really scattered thinking and a lot of exhaustion, a lot of tiredness, because it's just on and on and on and on. So I would say just reconsider if you're one of these people that's kind of like, wow, mindfulness, wow, I don't want to eat a raisin, wow, mindfulness, I don't want to watch my breathing. Actually, there is a method to this madness. And the most important thing that you're trying to do is learn how to train and focus your mind so that it becomes a tool. Like, your thinking is supposed to be a tool for you. It's not supposed to be the master. Your thinking is not meant to be the master of you, dragging you about without any control, giving you insomnia, giving you the inability to just sit quietly because it's just raging all around you. That is a mind out of control. So your mind is a tool, and it's a thinking is a tool. And if it's not serving you, then it's really time to get it under control. And one of the ways to get it under control is to practice more mindfulness. When you notice that you're off, is to focus on the breathing, or focus on what you're looking at, or focus on the sounds you're hearing. And for some people, it is being able to focus on what they're eating, how they're walking, all these kinds of things. So I hope that was helpful. And I really hope that you remember to practice more mindfulness during your day. It will pay dividends, I promise you, because a mindful mind is a quiet mind, and you have a lot more energy to do the things that you really love to do. Take care. Bye.